Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Can you imagine what it would be like to win an Emmy Award? I just watched the show the other night. Fabulous show. Or can you imagine what it would be like to write, direct, and produce your very own movie? Have you ever wondered what it would be like to work with a relative, to work with someone like your brother? That could be good or bad. Now would you like to learn what happens when you explore the afterlife or religious themes in movies? Tell me, have you ever heard about a movie called The Jersey Devil? Now would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to create a movie career? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I'll be introducing you to my guest. He is a success coach extraordinaire. He will provide us with information, inspiration, and some really, really great advice about making movies. I am pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk For Media and syndicated on iHeart Radio Talk with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeart Radio. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now let me tell you about our guest today. He is a two-time New York Emmy Award-winning writer, director, producer. He has worked for several major television networks and, along with his brother, wrote the award-winning independent film Stuck in the Middle and The Jersey Devil, which he directed. His next feature, Clean Cut, will be released in 2016, and he will begin production on Phoenix, The Resurrection, also written with his brother, in the spring. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show Joe Pepitone. Hi, Joe. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to having you on the show. I love the titles of your show, Stuck in the Middle, The Jersey Devil, Clean Cut, and Phoenix. I live near Phoenix, so I'll be very interested in that show. You know, I usually start the show off by asking our guests to share with our listeners where your success story began, where you were born, and who your early mentors were.
Well, I was born in Brooklyn, New York. I lived there for most of my life until I got married and moved out to Jersey. Been there for the last 19 years with the family. And early mentors and stuff, just I've worked with a bunch of great creative people over the years in television and stuff, and I just pick a little bit from each of them. If I can learn one or two things from everybody along the way, it definitely helps. So that's been the story so far.
Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of training did you get for your movie career? How did you find this path to success open to yourself?
A long and winding road on that one. I started out as a pre-law major in college, and that didn't work out so well. I realized I wasn't smart enough to be a lawyer, so we quickly switched to communications, where I started out in radio, producing and writing for a late-night radio show, and that led into television, and been writing ever since, and just working with some great camera guys and stuff. I decided, let's just make a movie. I got a script here, I got some good people, and let's see what we can do. So the training basically was just all hands-on, just go out, try it, and see what works.
Oh my gosh, that's on-the-job training, which is probably the best training in the world for pretty much any career, in my opinion. Now, you wrote your movie scripts. Did you take writing classes, or how did you come about becoming a scriptwriter?
Never took writing classes. I always liked to write. I always liked to make up these ridiculous stories. And then the first script I ever wrote was stuck in the middle, but I did it as a television series, and I actually didn't even have the correct format and stuff. I just wrote dialogue and tried to figure it out from there. So that was a bit of a mess, but there was a story there. And then when I started to look at other people's scripts and learn a little bit more about script writing on my own, definitely put it together, stretched it out into a movie, and took it from there. But there were no, outside of the regular college classes, there was nothing I looked into and wanted to be a screenwriter. It was just something I just wanted to try and see what happened.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm in awe of what you've done, because I actually have written a movie script myself. However, I had downloaded one of the programs that just gives you the whole format in the whole template, and basically you just go through and make up your dialogue. It's a difficult thing to do, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. That's how green and naive I was when I first started. I didn't even know about the programs or Final Draft at the time when I first started writing. I was just putting stuff on Word, and then Final Draft was a blessing to me, because putting that all together is a pain. So yeah, Final Draft was great, and just, it is a process. It's staring at that first blank page and getting going is the toughest part.
Yeah, you know, and now with the technology, like Final Draft, which is what I use too, it's really a spoon feeding you a little bit. But the problem I found with writing a movie script, of course, you having worked in television, it wouldn't be a problem for you, but I write nonfiction and I write descriptive and I write conversations, but when you're writing for a movie, you're writing for what people are going to see, not so much what they're going to hear. Isn't that true?
Exactly, yeah. I like that, because when I'm writing, I'm seeing the whole movie happen. I'm a movie guy, and I write like I see the scenes. I wrote a couple novels with my brother, but he's much better at that, being descriptive and writing that, so I just help him out a little bit, but he is very good at that, and I'm much more visual in my writing.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and that's so important. It's very difficult. That's why when writers try to do scripts, it's kind of a ridiculous exercise, and anyone who's ever read my script, I've been right up front with them and said, hey, I am not a script writer, and I'm just trying to put on paper an outline of what I'd like to see, because you really have to have paid your dues and to learn how to become a script writer. It takes a long time, doesn't it?
It takes a long time, and there's definitely a structure to it. And just having, if you watch any movie, there's definitely a structure that's similar in all the movies, how it, the beats and the different arcs throughout the film. It's definitely a structure that everyone follows. That is a little difficult for me too, because I like to go in all different directions, and there's definitely some kind of discipline you need for script writing.
Okay, now your first film, Stuck in the Middle. So we've established that you have to have a wonderful script to do a film. Then what do you do? How do you find the financing? How does that all play out?
Well, for Stuck in the Middle, the financing was me. So, not something I recommend, because we went into it. I was working with an editor who said he was talking about wanted to shoot something. I said, well, I got this script. let's do it. And he was like, yeah, not knowing anything about budget or anything. And we just went in and made the movie and said, okay, we need money for this. We need money for this. We need money for this. And it went a little higher than I thought I was going to spend on it. But it was the best part about it was that the control was mine because it's my money and I'm running the show. So it's a little easy to keep my vision if I'm the only one calling the shots.
Yeah. Well, and then tell me, you know, approximately how long did this process take from writing the script to actually getting the movie made? How much of your life, what kind of a chunk did that take out of your life?
Well, stuck in the middle, it was on and off. I wrote a little, I stopped because I never had a plan when I first started writing it that I was going to get it done. Mm-hmm. When I finally got it done, it took a couple of years by the time I got into it and wrote it. We shot the movie, put it together pretty quickly. It was about a whole 3-month process with getting the cast, getting everybody in shape, finding locations, and then shooting it. So it turned around pretty quick just because it had to because of the low budget on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I get sometimes in the mail people who are doing projects and they have, I'm not sure what it's called, share funding or people can invest. Have you heard about people doing that to make a movie?
Yeah, the crowdfunding. There's a few out there. Yeah, that we've tried that. Me and my brother, we are very bad at that. I'm not very good at asking people, hey, I got this script and I got this dream and I got this vision. You want to give me money for it? So selling is not our strong point as far as raising the money. But we've gotten better over it since Stuck in the Middle, and it worked out a lot better in Jersey Devil and the next movie we're trying to up our game. But we're getting a lot of help from other producers who that's their field, that's what they do.
Okay. And now Stuck in the Middle was an award-winning independent film. What award did it win, and how exciting was that?
That was very exciting because, like I said, my goal when we were making this movie was I'll make a DVD for myself and I'll have a nice memory. But as it kept going and we saw how good it was getting, we said we might have a chance to get this thing out. So we wound up in the Atlantic City Film Festival, uh-huh. and we won 3 awards. We won Best Comedy Feature, which was great. We won the whole festival. Uh-huh. And 2 of our actors won Best Actor Awards. Stephen Fontana and Penelope Lagos won Best Actress. So that was exciting for them. It was exciting for me. It was just our first festival, and we were really, really more than we expected from that film. And we wound up getting a distribution deal.
Oh, wow.
Out there. Yeah, it's out there. And we were just not, when we started, we did not dream that it would end up there in festivals and for sale on Amazon and stuff. So it was really fun, really fun.
Okay, and it was in the comedy competition, and yet you won the best film for the whole festival, right?
I think there was one for drama too. So we won the comedy portion.
Uh huh. Okay. Wow. Congratulations for a first time. For a first time effort, that's very, very impressive. And right now, we're going to hear from some other very, very impressive people. My sponsors. We'll be right back.
Joining January Jones as her co-host on the show is Miles Miller, the great success creator. Miles is a 2-time best-selling author with books entitled Against the Grain and Successonomics. He continues to transform 100,000 people all over the world through his speaking and training. His uplifting and essential messages like Bulletproof, Time Machine, and Strength in Numbers are impacting every audience he meets. Together with January Jones, they'll explore how to be successful and what steps you can take to achieve the success you want. Visit successhq.net, leadup.biz, and learningbreaks.com. The moment after you serve your customer, what will they tell the world? Social media has us so connected that a single voice has unprecedented power to benefit and to harm. What do your customers say? Do you know? Do you respond? What do you say? For years, Steve Holtquist has been helping businesses use the internet to be more productive and successful. Now he's showing businesses how to go back to the future, fostering and empowering relationships. Learn how to work in this new world. Find Steve at InfiniteSummit.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Wine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Wine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Wine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Wine Zone, and we're visiting with my guest, writer, director, producer, Joe Pepitone. Pepitone. And now, Joe, I have to ask you, are you by any chance related to the baseball player?
Yes, he's my uncle.
Okay. I had to ask that because when I told my husband who I was interviewing, he got very excited. And I, of course, then I had to Google it and see that he was a New York Yankee. And what was that like, having a famous baseball player in your family?
Well, he had retired. I was 1 year old, 1 year old when he retired, so I didn't see him play much. But just he was very popular in New York. So anywhere when I was growing up, I just having the name, people knew him. People talked about him all the time, good and bad. So I heard a lot. I heard a lot about him growing up. So it was fun, and at other times, not so much fun.
Oh, really? Okay. It can go both ways, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Well, obviously, your folks must have liked him, because obviously if they named you after him, they must have wanted you to enjoy having a famous name growing up. And sometimes, as you said, that can be good, and sometimes not so good.
Yeah, I let them know about that sometimes, yeah.
Okay. I think that's what happens with a lot of kids in famous families. They have a different outlook on life. Well, now, let's change the subject, and we'll talk about the Jersey Devil. And let me read a little bit from the synopsis to give our listeners an idea of what this movie is about. It begins, when Lucifer's term limits are up, a new devil takes over hell with plans to re-energize and relocate. After an extensive search, he winds up in New Jersey, where he begins to collect souls to challenge the kingdom. Lucifer fights the turnpike traffic to stop him and get back his throne with a little divine intervention. Now, how did you come up with this plot?
I was always interested in I love the name, the Jersey Devil, and the myth behind the creature and stuff. But I wanted to do something, just a name popped out at me, and like Jersey, a lot of people always put Jersey down. People call Jersey hell. And I just kind of combined that. I said, this would be cool to bring what people think Jersey is hell. Let's bring it there. Let's have something where the devil wants to move right into Jersey, because it's perfect for him. And then it just kind of grew from there. I just found a lot of humor and a lot of comedy in just hell being here.
Okay. I've never heard about the Jersey Devil myth, and obviously it's something you grew up with. Could you share what it is?
It's kind of like a Bigfoot. He's this winged monster that lives in the woods in Jersey, and it's the same thing as Bigfoot. He's been seen. Nobody has the clear picture. It's an old story that goes way back. So I just always it was always drawn to that. Jersey Devil is such a cool name. What can you do with this?
Okay. And now, you wrote this script with your brother, right?
Yes.
Okay. What's it like working with a brother?
Me and my brother get along great. It's so easy working with him. We're very similar. Basically have the same brain, so it's very easy to work. He knows what I'm thinking. He knows what I like. I know what he likes. So when we write, it's just I'll write at night, send it to him. The next morning, I'll have some just a continuation. So it's just like it's like the same person writing. It's so easy.
Oh wow, that's an interesting process. So you kind of just take turns telling the story. When you begin, do you have like an outline so you have a beginning, middle, and you both know how it's going to end? Or does that just happen as you work your way through it?
Happens as we work our way through. I don't like doing outlines or treatments. I just sit down and I start. I have the story in my head and I start writing the dialogue out and see how the story goes from there. And when it's all done, I'll just go back and just edit and edit. But I just like to get the story down, just having the conversations in my head as I'm writing them.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you discuss this with your brother before you start, or you just pass it over to him and see what he comes up with?
It usually passes to him. We one of us will have the idea and just start and go, and then once we send it to the other one, they kind of can pick up what we're thinking and go from there. So that's, we go back and forth. Whoever has the main idea pretty much writes the bulk of it.
Okay. Now, did this film come out the way you anticipated? I mean, writing comedy is very tough, isn't it?
It's very tough. You just, my sense is that if this makes me laugh and if it will make my friends laugh, then I think we got a pretty broad audience because it's pretty, mm-hmm. we got a pretty good sense of humor. But the film came out much better than anticipated. I went into this just trying to make it better than Stuck in the Middle, not make the same mistakes I made, hopefully get a little more money. And I was lucky enough to just hook up with a bunch of great, great people who made it a lot better, made my job easier, so I didn't have to concentrate on mm-hmm. on stuff that a director shouldn't have to concentrate on. And they definitely made it more than I expected.
It's an interesting cast that you have, and it's a very prestigious cast. Were you, who did the casting? Did you hire someone to cast, or did you do that?
No hiring. I took a lot of people I worked with on Stuck in the Middle because I just thought they were great and wanted to work with them again and wrote a lot of parts for them. And then my the producers I hooked up with had worked with people, and they brought people on, and they told me, these guys are going to be good, you're going to be fine. So a lot of it, we didn't audition many people, just a handful of people. The rest came from people I knew or people the producers knew, and it just it gelled. It really worked out. Everybody was terrific in the movie.
Yeah. You know, I lived in L.A. for 40-some years, and so many of my friends were in the industry. And so I got in the habit of, after seeing any kind of a movie, I would sit there and watch the credits, just basically to see if I knew anyone or recognized any names. And what just blows me away is how many people it actually takes to make a movie. It's just mind-blowing. How many people worked on your movie?
We had cast and crew total about 40 to 50 people, which is low by standards, but in Stuck in the Middle, I had a crew. My camera guy had three people working with him. So that was a lot of work. When I came into Jersey Devil and we had this whole crew with me, I was like, oh, this is great. People actually, I don't have to run and pick stuff up and get the food and set these things up. It's really, we had a pretty big crew for what I'm used to, but the other movies just have hundreds of people working on them. Everyone's needed. Everyone's important.
Oh, yeah. And you read the credits and you'll have Grip 2 and Grip 3, and then you'll have catering and Al Pacino's assistant and Al Pacino's assistant's assistant. And it's just amazing what it takes to put a film together. How long did it take for you to make Jersey Devil?
Once the writing was, I wrote the movie around the same time as Stuck in the Middle, because I just wanted to continue that kind of afterlife idea. But it was a few years because didn't want to jump right into it again, and I wanted to get the money. And so by the time we started shooting, it was 3 weeks of shooting. Post production was a month or two, and then after that, post production editing and doing took a while. It took like 7 or 8 months. So when the movie's wrapped, it's still going on. It's still people working on it. I'm still working on it to this day.
Yeah. Well, you know, it takes close to a year to get something like that done. And as you said, you're still working on it. Now, when you look back on this marvelous experience, what was the high point and what was the low point?
High point was just seeing everybody, because I had worked with people before. I knew I was going to have a good time with them. But the newer people came in, everybody gelled, and everybody on the set became friendly. They became friends after this. After the movie was over, other people were hiring people from the movie and working together again. So that was the best part for me, for just like, we brought all these people together and made some friends, made some work acquaintances that people can hire, and everybody went off and did more stuff. So that was great. It was just such a great time, such a fun time making the film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like you become an extended family. And so many of my friends talk about it. You know, you're with each other, and then you go in different career paths, and yet when you reunite, it's just like you're right back where you were, and it's like you haven't missed a day. Isn't that true?
Exactly. Yeah, we're actually going to have a release party next month, and it's going to be great to see everybody again.
How fun!
It was a great. We shot. There was a blizzard. Two blizzards hit us in the same week. So we were all in there. We were working. We were in this crazy storm, and everybody just had a great time. It was really fun to be working with them in these conditions, and it just didn't bother anybody. So it was great.
Okay, so I am going to assume from what you just said that the low point was possibly having two blizzards in one week.
The blizzard, I mean, if it would have canceled any days, yes, it would have been the low point, but it turned out to just to be, this is our team, this is how good we are, we're going to make it right through this. But the actual low point was 2 days before we started shooting, we had to let one of the main actors go.
Oh.
It just wasn't going to work out, so we were scrambling, and the actor we needed had to be there every day. It was a major part. So the lead actor, Keith Collins, hooked me up with Edvin Ortega, who came into the film, said yes, learned his stuff right away, and wound up winning Best Supporting Actor. So the low point turned out to be the high point, which was really great.
Yeah, it's like, who knew? There you go.
Exactly. We were trying, well, what are we going to do? This guy's in every scene. He's every day. And Edvin just came in. He was a perfect guy for it.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm happy to hear that. And the high point of every one of my shows, Joe, is when we hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
January's co-host, Connie Cockrell, the author of Mystery at the Fair, has been writing since 2011 after a challenge from her daughter. An eclectic writer, she's written mysteries, sci-fi, fantasy, and even a thriller. She has been included in 4 different anthologies and published on the e-zine Everyday Fiction. Connie continues to write and entertain with whatever comes into her head. You can find her books on most ebook retail sites. Paperback editions are also available. Be sure to visit her at www.conniesrandomthoughts.com, on Facebook, and on Twitter at Connie Cockrell. Are you pursuing your passion, doing what you really want to do in life? Do you ever feel everyone around you is succeeding, leaving you behind, feeling unhappy and unsatisfied with your life? There are many ways to become successful, but getting there is half the battle. In his book, Finding Your Road to Success, How to Get There Without Getting Lost, Patrick Daniel shares tips on what it really takes to be successful. As a CPA, chartered professional accountant, author, life coach, charity founder, investor, and family man, Patrick lives success every day of his life. Connect with Patrick at www.findingyourroadtosuccess.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
I'm also pleased to announce that Priceless Personality is available at audiblebooks.com. We have a Priceless Personality visiting with us today, Joe Pepitone, and he is the writer, director, producer of Jersey Devil. And Joe, let's talk a little bit about your website, how people can find your movie, and where we can watch it and find out more about it.
Well, it'll be released October 27th. It'll be on Amazon. It'll be in Best Buy and any stores that sell DVDs. You can pre-order it now on Amazon, which a lot of people are doing, which it's nice to hear that it's creating a little bit of a buzz. But any information on it, you can go to the Facebook page, which is the Jersey Devil Movie page, and that has everything when it's going to be released. I've been putting clips up there, the trailer, so I just keep that thing, keep that moving, and just so people have a little bit of buzz. And I'm on Twitter at JoePep27.
Okay, and that's facebook.com/JerseyDevilMovie, and go and check it out. And October 27th, it will be available at Amazon.com. That's pretty exciting, isn't it?
It really is. It's going on Amazon and getting a chance to see it in the stores when they're out there is going to be really fun for everyone involved. But yeah, Amazon's reporting that it's doing some good sales early, so the pre-order's working. So
okay, and did Stuck in the Middle, is that on Amazon too?
That is also on Amazon, yes.
Okay, well, that's a big break, because that is, everyone's talking about Amazon. They're just changing so much in the industry, aren't they?
The whole game has changed, yeah, with Netflix and Amazon.
Yeah.
There's just so many more outlets to get your film on. It's great for filmmakers now, but it creates a lot more competition.
Oh, there's a high and the low of that. Good opportunity, but now everyone thinks they can do it. When you look at your career and what you are accomplishing, what do you look at as your strengths? And what are your weaknesses?
Strengths are, I continue to try. Like, the first movie is a good example, Stuck in the Middle. It can't be done. You can't make a movie. How are you going to make a movie? And that's just keeps me going. And when I make or write a bigger script, you can't make this. It's too big. I'm going to find a way to do it. And that's one of my strengths. I don't know how at that point, but I will figure it out and we'll get it made. So that's definitely going forward and trying anything. That's one of my strengths, which also could be a weakness if it doesn't go the right way. But I can't tell that until it's over. So what am I going to do?
Well, there you go. And I mean, it's important never to give up. And anyone who is a writer, director, producer, actor, anyone who's doing anything creative, you've got to learn to deal with rejection. If you can't deal with rejection, you better go back and be a lawyer. Wouldn't you agree?
Exactly. I give anybody who, any actor out there, I give an incredible amount of credit to come up just in the auditions. I see them, they come in, they have to face a room full of people and just pour their heart out and become someone else. It's amazing. That's why, I won't put myself in a movie because I don't belong there. I'm not trained. It's not what I want to do. So why take that part for someone who this is their dream, and even if it's a small part? So I give them credit. Seeing these guys take my material and just make it much better is so much fun for me. And it's amazing what they do.
Are you ever tempted to do like Alfred Hitchcock, kind of just walk through a scene or sit at a table and have a cup of coffee?
No, I for some reason get no joy. I don't want to see me there. I don't want to see me try to do lines or anything or act. So it's just not something I want to do. I don't even want to be in the background wandering around. It's just I don't belong on that side of the camera.
Okay, well, you and I are different. I would love to I don't want to have a speaking part. I'd like to just
you just want to be, okay.
a walk-through or a sit-through. I'd like to be one of the backup people. Now,
I would even do that right.
When you look at your weaknesses, what's your thoughts on that?
One of the big things writing-wise, my weakness is just getting started. I'll look at something, and like I said, the blank page, it's just like, oh, I got to start. Where do I start? I have to get on a roll, or I'll just put it away, and I'll go on the internet and stuff. It's just concentrating and just getting into it and saying, this is where I got to put all my time. So it's just going into, like, I don't know if it's a fear or something, but starting is always a fear. But once I get into it, it starts going.
Well, I think anyone creative goes through that. And I mean, I know I'll come in and have something to do, and I can find my emails to look at, and I can find so many ways to put off getting the work done. And I think that's a pretty natural humanistic thing. Now, you direct and you write. Which do you prefer doing?
Writing. Definitely writing. I prefer, for directing, I only do it to protect my work. I've done a couple movies where I wrote, and me and my brother wrote, and someone else did, and it just didn't go in the direction I wanted it to, and things were changed. So
yeah.
I'm more of a protector than a director. It's not one of my strong suits, but I like being there and seeing, okay, this is the way I wanted it to go, and let's try to get there. So directing only because I don't want to see someone else take my our ideas and do something with it differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and once you turn it over to the director, I guess pretty much as a writer, you're out of the picture, aren't you, in most cases?
Yeah. So the director, it's his movie after that, and that's what kills me on especially the comedies. This is the way I want it. This is the humor I was going for. I can't put that in someone else's hands that wasn't there. Don't know where I was going. So, yeah, it's the director's game. They can do what they want. And the writer's out. So that's why I direct when I can.
Yeah, that's the reality of that business. Now, if you were describing your directing style, I'd like to hear what it is, because so many times I read actors and they'll say, well, the director just never said anything.
Yeah, mine's chaotic. Definitely chaotic.
Okay.
I'm really laid back. I think once we've gone over it and I talk to the actors and they know what to expect from me, I will let them go and do their thing, because everybody we work with is a professional. They've done a lot of stuff. So I trust them, and I'm saying, hey, this is where I think the character is. I'll talk it over with them, and then I'll give them a leadway to just explore that character, because it's going to be there. They're the ones up on screen. They're the ones people are going to see. Mm-hmm. So I let them try to put their voice to it.
Oh, that's terrific. You know, I was reading Vanity Fair, the magazine that just came out the last few days, and there's a whole thing on Mike Nichols and all of the people that worked with him on his massive, impressive career. They would make comments about things that he would say when he was directing to get them to get the right emotion or to do the right thing. And it's fascinating. And I think every director probably has to just develop his own style, and that will help the actors begin to trust you, won't it?
Yeah. I totally agree. I think the actors know what they're doing. They get into that character and they want to go that direction. So my thing is to get out of the way. I can only hurt it once they're in that thing, and just tell them, this is what I think, this is what I was writing, this is who the character was, and now it's yours, make it your own.
Mm-hmm. It's so important to have trust in the workplace, and I can tell you that I trust all of you to enjoy meeting my sponsors, and we'll hear from them right now.
January is thrilled to be welcoming Dr. Nancy Irwin. We'll be co-hosting on iHeartRadio with January Jones. As a doctor of psychology, clinical hypnotist, and author of U-Turn, Changing Direction in Midlife, Dr. Nancy is an agent for change. Many people believe that change can be scary, but she believes it can actually be creative and fun. She does know a thing or two about change, because at age 44, she transitioned from a stand-up comedian to shrink. Oh, believe her, the road from comedy to mental health is very short indeed. Most fears are learned, and the good news is whatever we learned, we can unlearn. Smoking, overeating, fear of public speaking, test anxiety, what have you. On our show, we'll be discussing how you can dissolve that negative programming and free your inner winner. Change is inevitable. You can either affect it or accept it. Visit her site, drnancyirwin.com. Layla, a book by Jeannie Kerrigan, will take you on a journey, a raw, heart-wrenching journey. The final resting place? Love. Jeannie is an author, healer, and executive director of Ricky's Revolution Nonprofit. You can get your copy of her book at JeannieCarrigan.com. Ricky's Revolution comes directly out of Layla, dedicated to helping homeless runaway youths and victims of sex trafficking reach a place of safety. We distribute Jeannie's monkey named Ricky with vital hotline numbers embroidered on him free to children on the street through loving collaboration with thousands. Proceeds from the book and your donations have saved lives. Ricky'sRevolution.org. What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play and well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Welcome back with our fascinating guest, Joe Papatone, and he's the writer, director, and producer of The Jersey Devil. Now, you've done two comedies, and they focus on religious themes and the afterlife. Tell us why you choose to revisit the afterlife, and are you a particularly spiritual person?
Well, I had 16 years of Catholic school, so that's where a lot of that comes from. spiritual, well, I don't know.
I had 16 years, so I think we're in the same boat. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. A lot of it comes from that. And the afterlife, I just love the fact that there's no boundaries. Nobody knows what it is. No one can tell. And you just create that afterlife world and try to find fun things to do with it and put in crazy situations because you just don't, nobody's going to tell you you're wrong. So
yeah.
I like to just create this world that's what's after. In most of the movies, they're exactly like real life. There's people just struggling and bored and miserable in their jobs or whatever, but that's the afterlife world I usually create.
Yeah, and you know, the paranormal, I find here on the show, it's really a hot topic. Anytime we have psychics or people who talk to angels and guides and anyone who has anything to share, it's very hot. People really love hearing about that. Now, let's talk about the cast. Who did you cast as the devil?
Well, the original devil, Lucifer, is Jack Mulcahy, who's a veteran actor. He was in Porky's, he was in Brothers McMullen, and he was terrific in the role. He won the Best Actor Award at the Atlantic City Festival this year.
Uh-huh.
So he was terrific as Lucifer. And the new devil is Keith Collins, who I've worked with on a few films.
Uh-huh.
And they, together, it was great because they were pitted against each other, and they really did a good job. Going at one another in the film.
Mm-hmm. And did you have any female stars?
Yes. Penelope Lagos, who was in Stuck in the Middle, was also in this, and she's just a great actress. Love writing for her. I wrote this part especially for her, just knowing her voice and knowing that what she will do and what she'll bring to the movie is just fun.
Uh-huh.
Fun to do. She's great to work with, and was great in this film again.
Yeah, that's neat when you write a part for a certain actor and they actually agree to do it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We talk a lot. There's stuff that I got coming up that, same thing, I know her voice and I know how good she'll be, so I write a female part is definitely for her. And another female, Rosie Gunther, was played Eve, the first lady in the movie. Mm-hmm. And I had not worked with her before, and she was really good, really I had an idea for this role, and then when she came in, I'm like, okay, that's better. Let's go in this direction. So she was really good. I told you about Edgar Ortega, who won Best Supporting Actor, who just came in, was amazing. Stephen Fontana, who was in Stuck in the Middle, is also in this one again, he steals scenes. He's just so funny. He ad-libs. He's one of the few actors I'll let go off script a little bit because he's so good at it and just comes up with some great stuff. He's a lot of energy. And our biggest actor was Chris Mulkey, who was in Captain Phillips and Boardwalk Empire, and he plays God. So it's just...
Oh, wow.
He's somebody who's been in these big budgeted movies coming to our independent film, and it just was great. The cast rallied around him, and everybody, mm-hmm. he was just hung out with the guys after the movie, and it's terrific in the movie. So the cast was, there's so many more people that were, everybody was great. There's not a weak part in the movie. I got people who aren't actors, who are producers, who had small scenes, who were hysterical. John mm-hmm. Cameron is a friend of mine since grade school, who came on as a producer, and we put him in a scene, and it's one of the funniest scenes in the movie. It's just so much fun. Like, I had friends from high school who came on as producers, and I put them in the movie. So it was just a great atmosphere, and the cast was terrific.
Well, it sounds like a great collaboration, and of course, it always helps any project to have a little star power attached to it. Now, you're an independent filmmaker. How do you get your film to stand out when there's so many people you're competing against?
You have to make, it's got to be quality, first of all. You can't just put something together and then just hope it gets out there. But there are a lot of qualities. With the equipment today, there's so many quality things that are made for low budget. So my thing is to do something different, have a different topic. And I think the afterlife and bringing hell to New Jersey is definitely something that's not been explored yet. So it's stuff like that. Just trying to, when you tell people it's about, they're like, oh, I've never heard of that before. That's not another comic book movie or another action thing. This sounds different. So you're just trying to get people who are tired of the big budgeted world and see a little something that has a story to it.
Fabulous idea, because I read the synopsis and it had me laughing, and I had no idea what I was even laughing about. We have to go now, Joe, and it's been wonderful having you with us. Could you just give us a little hint? Do you have, what's your next project?
Well, Clean Cut is wrapped and should be start going to the festivals very shortly, and will be released next year. And then our big action film, Phoenix: The Resurrection, we're going to start the production in the spring, and that's going to be a big one. That's going to take us a while to go. But right now we're just concentrating on October 27th for The Jersey Devil on Amazon and in stores.
Wonderful. And, you know, it's been wonderful to share you with my listeners, and thank you so much for visiting with us today, and good luck on October 27th. I have a feeling you're going to not need it so much. I have a feeling this is going to be a big hit, and I hope you will come back and visit again.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me. This was great, and I appreciate the time.
Okay. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today with Joe as much as I've enjoyed sharing him with you. My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like Joe. I would love to welcome you to our No Whining World. When you can, sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success and our secrets for movie making. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So now, my dear friends, stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. If that doesn't work, then you can start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my guest today, Joe Pepitone. Be sure to look out for The Jersey Devil, October 27th on Amazon.com. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sorantos.
This is Sorantos, and you're listening to January Jones. This is Sorantos. I hope you enjoyed January Jones' latest episode.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
English share stories and being incredibly inspiring people or crossing our crew of people who have been touched by this kind of just an incredible moment you get to have as a human being. So really what I feel is surprise is I am not
you're going to be on the Thank you. Thank you.